Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. Today's podcast number 14, February 14th, 2006. Happy Valentine's Day to everyone. I'll be joined by Steve Faub, my co-host. David Tapia is our producer. And Desiree's on assignment. Steve?
This F1 Weekly podcast is brought to you by the Firefox web browser. The innovative Firefox browser makes surfing the web faster and safer with the included Google toolbar. Features like autofill, spell check, pop-up blocking, and tab browsing, it will make your internet browsing more convenient. Together, they'll change the way you search the internet for free. Just click on the Firefox button on our homepage, f1weekly.com.
Thank you, Steve. Keep up the good work. Before I get into Max and that whole dealio, I want to extend my apologies to Will at mytriviapodcast.com. We incorrectly mixed up the name of his show. And by the way, tune in later this week for another interesting F1 trivia questions. And later on, for the race, he'll have a full F1 show, which we will be featuring, and it's fantastic. Some really killer trivia. This stuff you can share with your friends, and it's just wonderful. Okay, Steve, well, Max has done it again. I mean, this guy is going out on a weekly basis now, making sure that my nerves are frazzled.
Yeah, Mad Max, he's definitely jumping back into the fray. Here we think Bernie's kind of diffused the whole situation, and now Mad Max has gone back in there and gone, hey, sign up now or be left behind.
Not only that, but he's giving him a deadline. 10 days, sign up now. I think they have to sign up by March.
I believe I read it. The open sign-up is like March 23rd and ends around the 1st, I think, is what I read.
And he'll only keep it open for 10 days. Yeah, so there you have it. And can you imagine if you're – I'm telling you, this is just going to piss people off.
Yeah, definitely. If for some reason, some paper glitch, McLaren, say, gets left out, I can just hear the uproar now all over Europe and – people just going, what? Huh? What? They gave Super Aguri 6 weeks to get the money. Why can't they come in late? Why can't McLaren come in late?
No, I think it's even bigger than that. I mean, the manufacturers, he's saying if they don't sign up, he'll move on without them. This is the first time we've had a full field of 22 cars in a number of years. Everybody's struggling for money. He wants to cut out the biggest money guys just because I know he wants to take from the rich, give to the poor. I know he doesn't want the manufacturers to get a cut of the pie anymore. He thinks it should all go to the smaller teams. But I think he's over the bend. All he does is rub everybody the wrong way. And I seriously doubt by threatening the manufacturers to sign the 2008 Concord Agreement with all those unbelievably outrageous rule changes, I don't think they're going to do it.
I don't think it comes down to the rule changes. These guys have probably had their legal departments going over this document for what it's been on the table for almost 2 years, and I'm sure that the reason they haven't ran out and signed it is because the legal department's going, no,
yeah.
This better be waived because we can't sign up for that.
I agree. Anyway, enough of Max because I'm sick of him.
Sick of Max.
Let's just race, damn it. Excuse me. Thank you. All right. Well, the big hoop-dee-dee earlier this week was the new reflective paint scheme on the McLaren, the livery. Their new it's supposed to, they call it a chromium kind of a look, which I think is a little off base, but I thought it looked good.
It's really pretty in the studio. I was looking at the pictures of it on the track today, and it's not quite as impressive.
Well, it's not quite as luminous.
Yeah, it doesn't.
The reflectivity was a bit toned down from the studio, but still, it's very unique.
Very shiny.
And I'm sure the sponsors are loving it.
Yeah,
at least
definitely
it's supposed to be. I guess it's supposed to be more photogenic.
Yeah, definitely more of an eye catcher.
And both MP421s are now testing together. They're in Valencia. No big numbers. I didn't get any big numbers. They weren't the top number makers today.
Here's some Valencia numbers if you want to read through them, Clark.
Okay. Pedro de la Rosa was down in third, Juan Pablo fourth, blah, 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 blah.
But what were their times?
Juan Pablo Montoya, 1 minute, 11.701.
11.
Pedro was 1 minute, 11.633. But this is Valencia.
Okay, yeah.
You can't.
Yeah, I'm trying to. I know. I'm thinking bouncing, back to. Yeah, I'm thinking of the numbers in Juarez.
That was Juarez last week.
Yeah.
It's it gets confusing, but still.
I got a little tidbit on the McLaren's. Mercedes redesigned V8 engine has improved over the initial version, according to McLaren test driver Pedro de la Rosa. But with his engine expiring in a cloud of smoke at Juarez last Friday, the Spaniard told the local Marca newspaper the team has a long way to go.
Interesting. Some of the trouble they have had, and not only that, but you never know what these teams are doing. Sometimes they could be sandbagging, and I don't know. It's hard to say. But Mike Gascoigne, who used to be at Renault, has now been at Toyota for a couple of years. He says Renault's the one to watch.
Yeah, can't really sandbag an engine blow though.
No, I guess you can't, huh? But I'm still giving them the benefit of the doubt. McLaren, hopefully they didn't put too much energy in that paint job and are putting lots of energy into the car.
Yeah, put all the research money into paint instead of a motor.
Well, you know, you have to be showy, too. It's part of F1. We had Super Aguri out today.
Yeah, I
that
saw
was
that.
Exciting.
Yeah, I'm serious.
The all-white Arrows A23 with Honda. Two trucks showed up. One had Honda livery on the truck, full of Honda engines. I don't know what they were expecting.
Yeah, I hope they were expecting Honda engines. And Takumo was the one that took it out on the track.
Yeah, Takumo Sato was the tester. So, I mean, has he been confirmed yet?
No, he has not.
It's still not final, but I think he is the dude.
Yeah, I've got one article that I printed out. It is likely that Takumo Sato will soon be announced as one of the Super Aguri drivers.
Hmm.
I said, hopefully he doesn't get announced as one of the test drivers.
Well, they're supposed to be testing next week in Barcelona, I believe.
Yes. They're going to be there with the rest of the gaggle.
With the gaggle?
The rest of the group.
Excellent.
Everybody else that's down there, they're going
to
join
them. I can't wait to see pictures of the car, because what we had today was very brief and no good.
Did you actually get to see a picture? The articles I saw didn't have any photos.
I saw a picture on a website, but it was definitely Aguri's. It was definitely the A23 at the airport. You saw the 747 in the background. It was sort of an odd thing, but it was no big shakedown, you might say. It was more like a little spin.
Just driving around. Does it still start?
But it looked good, even though it was all white, and it's sort of hard to pick up on any aero nuances or what have you. Also, another big hoop-dee-dee, some of the websites made a big deal out of it, was the new aero package for the Toyota.
Yeah,
it was out with their car before everybody. Everybody was saying how together they have it, and they haven't really showed it testing. They're not very fast, and I don't know. We'll see. But right now, they have a complete new aero package, which I think details about 18 different little changes. They look good. I think they're good changes. I think they'll pick up a few tenths if they're lucky. But I don't see any leaping above the front runners.
Yeah,
I'm afraid Toyota is not going to be as fast as they expect to be.
Well, I was looking at the photo that you put up on the website, and the stuff that they're showing kind of looks like copies of bits and pieces off of everybody else's aero packages.
Well, I mean, that's the problem with wind tunnels, is after a while, what you come up with are going to be similar. Like, I mean, and people do copy each other a little bit. I mean, I would do it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. As an aero guy, I'd be looking to see what they've got, and then I'd put that in my tunnel, and if it works.
Yeah, because I've noticed the BMW has the front wings tucked over the front wing, the little front wings on the edge that tuck over the front wing.
Right.
BMW is emulating that quite significantly, and others aren't. Now, the new Toyota aero package does have some smaller wings above the main front wing in a similar kind of fashion, but they've done it a bit differently. where BMW is almost a straight-up copy.
Of Renault?
Yes, of course.
Of Renault. Yeah. Didn't we see that Williams had a very similar front wing also?
Yes. Williams significantly yeah,
almost
very
looks like
similar
they,
to
like
the
they
Renault.
Took a photograph and molded their
and you know,
thing
the,
to
once again, the underrated Williams was fastest today at Valencia with a 1:10.688 driven by Mark Webber. So the Williams is significantly making progress. Their aero package looks tight. And the Cosworth looks dependable.
Exactly. That's what I was about to say. Is that that's pretty impressive considering they're running the Cosworth.
And really I say in a few good. Months' time, if this kind of progress continues, I say Williams should forget about going to Toyota next year with a Lexus badged motor because that's what they're trying to do. Which I know they want.
I could see them doing that if there's money. You know, if they get some kind of price break on the motors to carry the Lexus badge. But if you've got a motor that's dependable and is putting out the horsepower, you know, from Cosworth, why bother? You know, it depends. Are you in it for sponsorship or are you in it
and
to win
races? I would reward Cosworth for doing such a fine job.
Oh, yeah. Well, I wouldn't doubt that there's something in Cosworth's contract that, you know, says that they get some kind of cash back or some additional, some kind of performance bonus kind of thing.
They could work something out, I'm sure.
Certainly.
Off on the champ car stuff, Catherine Legg looks like she's landed a PKV job in champ cars with PKV, and I like that. I like Catherine Legg. I've seen her race in the Atlantic Series over here in the USA.
Yeah, we saw her in San Jose last summer.
At the Champ Car Grand Prix, we always go to our local races, give them all the support they could possibly get, especially if it's open wheel. But Catherine Legg, now, unfortunately, I think this is really, we call it the Donica Patrick syndrome. Apparently, Donica Patrick, even though she did fairly well in the Indy 500 last year, this has generated so much publicity for that open wheel series and for herself that Champ Car wants to sort of capitalize on that female, the other gender dealio, and I don't blame them for that.
I don't would either. Do it. It also tends to be a larger thing here in the States to get a female behind the wheel because you know, you're trying to push that, you know, women in power kind of thing, and also a way to draw additional fans. You know, that's a huge consumer base that those guys would really like to get their
Donica Patrick really exploded on the scene because I remember a couple of years before Donica Patrick ever was around. In IRL, we had Sarah Fisher, and she did decently. I remember when she tested the McLaren at Indianapolis. Now, this was a deal because they shared the same sponsor, which I believe was Tag Heuer. But it was great. I was there at Indianapolis and watching Sarah take the McLaren, and she did a fine job, no spinning. She did her laps. It was great. So I like seeing women in cars.
Yeah, I think most women can drive just as well as a man.
Oh, well.
With enough experience.
No, I think it's great stuff. So I just wanted to mention that real quickly. Also, the RB2 came out with a new aero package today. All the aero packages are coming out because of Bahrain. It's around the corner. We're talking.
It's getting closer.
Well, it's under 4 weeks, and I cannot wait. And I hate to say it, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be Renault, Ferrari, and Honda from the data that I've been looking at.
Well, the way the Williams has been practicing.
Okay.
They could, the way that Cosworth's performing for those guys, they could be
That's a valid comment. We'll put Williams fourth.
Yeah. Well, I think Williams' greatest weakness is going to probably be overall technical. I think that they're going to have a good car, but they're just, they're not going to be able to get as much out of it as, say, a Renault can.
Well, we'll see. The biggest deal, remember the starts that Renault was doing last year?
Oh, yeah.
Out of control. Fantastic. That's the biggest problem. If somebody can outdo Renault in the starts or equal them, let's just go with equaling them. If Williams, because Williams didn't do that well in the starts last year. Even Ferrari had some pretty slow starts.
Nobody really had.
Honda had some good starts.
Explosive starts like some of the Renault races had.
Honda had some good ones. I remember Takuma Sato doing some wild and crazy things. And it's funny, it was only last year, but it seems like such a distance away.
Yeah, so long ago.
So it's just great stuff. Like I said, it's definitely going to be Renault, Ferrari, Honda, Williams, Toyota, and maybe Sauber right there in the middle. Jacques Villeneuve's pretty pumped up. They're testing all by themselves in, let me check my notes, Barcelona for some reason.
Off at a corner somewhere.
Yeah, that's unusual. Usually you're in a group. But speaking of groups, the three teams in Bahrain testing this week.
Yeah.
Toro Rosso, Ferrari, and Honda. Jenson Button was speaking the other day, and he was stunned that nobody else took the opportunity. But I'm really confused. What happened to the rule about not testing at a track you're going to race at?
I believe, if I remember correctly, that is a gentleman's agreement.
Yeah, but I remember last year, people, not making a huge deal about it, but Renault tested at Spa. And in order to appease everybody and to actually stick to the agreement, they only tested at a certain section of Spa. They did not do full laps.
Is there a loop
of course you can.
In Spa that you can...
But these three teams are blatantly... Well, Ferrari, I'm not surprised because they say, you know, this to everybody.
Well, didn't they test at Bahrain last year?
Yes, they did. Absolutely. But I don't know. And you know what? I don't care about these rules. I think everybody should do testing whenever they want. But when there are rules, I don't see why some people adhere to them, some people don't.
I think what you got to do is got to make it a rule and not necessarily. See, the gentleman's agreements are too easy for someone to weasel out of.
I know, and you know what? This
under.
Is where I think Max should be doing his job.
Yeah, that would
instead
be,
of going off on a tangent about, you know, the manufacturers, this is where Max should, you know, help me clear this up, please.
Yeah, well, it's the FIA's job to enforce the rules.
Supposedly.
Not just create more of them to, I guess, justify their bureaucracy.
Exactly. Speaking of rules, Renault driver development program has enjoyed some success over the years, and they just retained a few new people.
Four new drivers for the
four new drivers, and they let go of a couple. And they let go of a French guy. You got to give Renault credit. There's no favoritism at all for their French brethren. Frenchman
Loïc
Duval. Now, I don't know if he's related to WRC François Duval, but Loïc Duval and Venezuelan Pastor Maldonado have been dropped by the Renault program, and they're keeping the Swiss gentleman Romain Grosjean, Brazil Lucas Di Grassi, and Jose Maria Lopez. But it's a great program. This is where they get their young drivers for cheap.
Was Montaigne a Frenchman?
Who?
Montaigne.
Montaigne, Franck Montaigne.
Yeah, Montaigne.
Yes, he's French.
So
they dropped him.
He was driving for Renault.
They dropped him, and Fisichella said that was the best test driver he had ever worked with.
But
the problem is, I think as soon as these guys get a little cocky and self-confident, they're out of there.
They pop off to Briatore and he kicks them out.
Well, I don't know why, but Franck Montaigne, I know, tested at Homestead a champ car. I don't know how that went. I don't know where that went. Obviously, Sebastian Bourdais, he'll never race in Formula One. He's got one more chance, and that's if he replaces Jacques Villeneuve next year at Sauber.
Could he get into one of the Red Bull teams, maybe?
He could try, but I don't think so. Because at his stage in life, he's won two Champ Car World Championships. He won't do it for nothing. Like some of these teams want him to, you know, put out sponsorship and millions. He's too old for that. He's already an established race car driver, and he doesn't have. He's not that hungry.
No, he's pretty comfortable right now. McDonald's.
But we do need another French champion. I mean, Alain Prost. It's been too many years. Olivier Panis never did too much. So for my people, let's get a French driver in now. Darn it. Okay, we're going to take a quick little break, and we'll be back in 60 seconds.
Check out the next episode of Road Racer Podcast, the podcast about amateur motorcycle road racing, AMA news, and interviews with motorcycle road racers. I'm your host, John Bunce, an amateur motorcycle racer. For more information, check out roadracerpodcast.com.
How far is the moon from the Earth?
Interested in trivia? Please tune in to My Trivia Podcast, a weekly podcast rarely more than 8 minutes in duration, with 10 or more questions and answers of fun facts about topics such as science, geography, history, and there's even some audio thrown in. You can find My Trivia Podcast in iTunes, Podcast Alley, and other podcast sites, or you can go to www.mytriviapodcast.com. Hope to have you tuning in.
The moon is a quarter of a million miles away. The capital...
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. Happy Valentine to everybody. I'm joined by Steve Faub, my co-host. And I want to bring up some FIA deals. A lot of people were concerned about the V10 restrictions. Other teams were already whining about how they're not restricted enough. What do you think, Steve? I think they're restricted
enough. I know there's a lot of talk early on in the practice season that they weren't restricted enough, that they were looking at, what was it, 50 to 100 horsepower more from the restricted 10s than they were going to be able to squeeze out of the 8s. So there was a lot of controversy at the time.
Well, the FIA has officially said they're happy with the V10 restriction. There will be no supplemental rules to further downgrade the output of the current V10, which will be the Cosworth V10 ran by Toro Rosso. And apparently...
Isn't there another restricted V10 running?
Is there?
Why do I remember there being another one?
There's MF1 is running the Toyota V8.
Okay, maybe that's why I thought they were going to be running a restricted.
I thought so too, but they're running the Toyota V8. Red Bull is running the Ferrari V8. I mean, I try to think about this. I thought there might be one more, but I think the only V10 in the crowd is going to be Toro Rosso running the Cosworth V10. If I'm wrong...
He's a guru who's going to run a Honda 8, right?
He's going to run the Honda 8.
Okay.
So if I'm wrong, send me an email right away, please.
Yeah, let us know.
F1Weekly.com, contact us. Also, speaking of Toro Rosso, I want to apologize to Tonio Liuzzi's family. I've been pronouncing his name wrong. I've been pronouncing it Luisi, and it's actually Liuzzi. Tonio Liuzzi. And Tonio and Scott Speed are very happy with the STR01. Obviously, they've got a nice V10 behind them. Lots of torque and drivability. And they're pretty happy about it. They've been putting a lot of laps on the car.
They're probably having a whole lot of fun.
The car, Scott says the car tended to oversteer, but we worked on the problem. And by the end of the day, it was improved, almost perfect. They've been doing long runs. Everything's been going very, very smoothly. So it looks like the Cosworth V10 is extremely dependable.
Seems to be a...
And they are testing in Bahrain right now. And I'm sure that's going to help their tire development with the higher temperatures down there.
Definitely.
So I'm pretty happy with that. At least there'll be one V10 to listen to when we go to the United States Grand Prix. Also, we've been hearing that the Friday practice at the races is going to be usually in the garage. Pat Simmons thinks that top Formula One teams will this year do even less running on Fridays than in 2005. And that bums me out.
Yeah.
Because when I go to the races, I like Friday practice because I want to get as much of that race weekend as possible. And to see them just sitting in their garage...
Well, I would expect them to run some, but it sounds like they're not going to run nearly like they had in the past where they were trying to figure out what tires were going to work.
Well, they're referring to the FIA rule change that says weekend tire choices does not now need to be made until Saturday.
Previously, the selection for qualifying in the race had to be made on Fridays, meaning that from now on, new sets of F1 tires can be saved. So there you have it.
Well,
the lower teams with the third car will run a lot, but for the top teams, there will be much less activity.
Well, I think one of the other things I mentioned in that article, too, is that it's the higher-up teams are going to be doing it to save engine clock.
Okay. And speaking of MF1, the runners of the Toyota V8, they've had three drivers, lots of testing. Thiago Montero has been doing a lot of work. He's pretty happy with the car. The improvement is phenomenal, and they seem to think that they're going to have a pretty good year. They want to score points, but I really don't see that happening. But you know, you have to give them kudos for their enthusiasm. Now we're going to go to some of our emails. We've been getting some pretty decent emails from around the world.
Literally,
Steve, let us have it.
And so we'll start with one from San Jose. This one's from David here in San Jose. His name, hello, Clark. Today, from the BBC, at a meeting on 22nd March, Mosley will propose teams sign up for the 2008 within 10 days or risk losing their place. I thought Bernie told them to cool it back in our podcasting. Well, actually, I thought Bernie should tell him to cool it. He isn't listening. He's just too intent on incorporating independent teams and cutting costs in F1 without considering that in the old days, F1 needed independence because they didn't have enough factory teams to field a respectable grid. In the old days, they even had to make the grid up with F2 cars. However, now they have the opportunity to field grids only limited in safety by size. Or limited in size by safety. Why would major manufacturers want to compete in a second-class series? His proposed cheaper series is clearly lacking the opportunity for either product development or for the brand status attached. I'm afraid the days of Rob Walker are over. Let the independents go to A1 or Champ Car and leave F1 to represent the pinnacle of motorsport, not become NASCAR without fenders. Of course, we all know it's about control and not letting the major entrants in on any of it. David, San Jose.
David, sounds like he's pissed.
Definitely not pleased.
Well, people are using our email to vent a little, and that's perfectly fine.
Well, that's okay. We're using a podcast to vent. So.
Yeah, I vent every day.
Our next one is from Joe Morgan in Buffalo, New York. Hey, Clark. Just wanted to let you know I really enjoyed the podcast. You continue to improve the show with every new episode. I especially appreciate your consistency and the length of your show. An hour is never too long, in my opinion. The longer, the better. Anyway, since you have been to so many USGPs, I wonder if you have an opinion on the best cheap seats. I would really appreciate any info you could give me. Keep progressing, and we'll keep listening. Thanks, Joe.
Joe, that's a really good question, but the problem with that question is what a great seat to me is, somebody else might think it just stinks. But, I mean, it also depends on if it's a Friday practice seat, a quali seat, or a race day seat. And I definitely sit in different places on different days. But for qualifying, I love sitting on the third deck over turn one, or they call it turn 13 for the Formula One race, but it's also turn one for the 500. But that is really a great spot because you have the large prompter, the TV in front of you, where you could see the times. You've got a fantastic view of them coming out of the road course, coming in, and then taking that banked turn and then going full speed down the straight. I mean, I giggle just thinking about it, and you get to see just good racing, good qualifying, just good motor stuff. I mean, it's just great. So for me, third deck. Now, sometimes they had the nerve a couple of years to close that deck because what happens is they don't want to get too many. The place is so huge, they don't want too many areas getting littered where they would have to send personnel to clean it, so they just close it. Well, I went to the front office and I just gave them a piece of my mind. I was literally freaking out one year, and they finally opened it up, and I think they've got it open every year. But if it's not open, go to the office and complain at the U.S. Grand Prix. You must do this, because if you don't, they'll get lackadaisical and they'll start shutting this down. But that's my favorite spot. I also, for the race, I have penthouse paddock seats right in front of the start-finish line. That's what I do for the race. And on practice day, I walk around a lot. I also do that on the quali days. Make sure you see the Hall of Fame. But all in all, it's a great deal. Steve, go to the last email, please.
This one's from Mark Lacey in Bangkok, Thailand. Dear F1Weekly.com, I have enjoyed your podcast for a few weeks now. As a native of Indianapolis, I have to give kudos to your Indy GP broadcast. I personally have been to the first four USGPs at Indy, 2000 through 2004, but now live overseas. You are spot on with the need for a rental car, parking, recommended hotels, and downtown entertainment. Compared to other F1 race venues, such as Montreal or Sepang, you can't beat the great views of the race and the inexpensive ticket price. As a diehard Indy 500 fan, I am partial to the former Indy driver Juan Pablo Montoya, so usually follow any team in which he drives. So this year, go McLaren. I follow the A1 GP series too. Great winter entertainment until the F1 season starts. I used to live in Monterey, Cal, so I highly recommend you see A1 GP there. Keep up the good work. Mark Lacey, Bangkok, Thailand.
Thanks for the compliment, Mark.
Definitely. Thank you, sir.
Very good. Thank you. And definitely go to the race, get a rental car, and have a good time. And we will be going to Laguna Seca for the A1 Grand Prix. At least I hope we do.
We're going. Whether we get passes or not. But yeah. We're not telling anybody that because we want our passes.
I agree. Okay, that was great listener email. We're going to have to go to the wrap-up because we're running out of time. We want to get more feedback on My Trivia's podcast segment. Podcast number 13, we had a trivia question done by MyTriviaPodcast.com. MyTriviaPodcast.com. Give us an email. Tell us if you like it or not, because we'll keep it or we won't keep it. But we like working. We're doing some cross promotions. We do cross promotions with other podcasters. We're a big family. So MyTriviaPodcast.com. Also, take a look at his podcasts. Very, very good stuff. He's very articulate, and I like it. Also, we've moved the Rate Our Podcast button to the front page of the website, F1Weekly.com. Hardly anybody uses this button. We've gotten, minimal ratings compared to the listeners we have that we know from the emails and from the stats. So give us a rating. Either way, because this is important for us to try to get some advertising dollars so we can improve the show even better. Also, take the survey on the front page. No need to give any personal information. I know I promised you guys this thing is almost over, and my producer promised me it's almost over. So I'm hoping it's almost over because I hate surveys.
It will probably end just before the season starts.
There you go. Also, if anybody's interested, like I mentioned earlier, in cross-promotion either through our podcast or F1 Weekly's, F1Weekly.com's website, please contact us, info@F1Weekly.com. Check us out on iTunes, Podcast Nova, Podcast Alley, and Yahoo Podcasts. Well, there you have it, a short Tuesday show. We do two shows a week now, one short, one long. Steve, I had a good time.
Yes, I always enjoy doing
this. I have a funny feeling that our next show, Max will have some news for us.
Probably.
So there you have it.
Maybe one of the team principals will step up and make a Max comment.
Oh, I'm sure that he's gotten a few phone calls. His answering machine must be really busy. A
couple flame mails to go with it.
All right. Okay, we're out of here. Good night, Steve.
Good night, Clark. Good night, Dave, wherever you are.
This is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. Thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, reporting and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport, a blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.